Hi, thank you all so much for joining us today. My name is Megan Welch. I appreciate your presence in our continuing series of L4GA podcasts. We're so excited today. Dr. Gardner and I have another great guest. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, Dr. Roberta Gardner is an assistant professor of reading and literacy education at Kennesaw State University and consults with the L4GA project and grant on community partnerships. She has expertise in lots of areas, and community partnerships is one of them. So Dr. Gardner, I'll toss it to you to introduce our guest.
Thank you so much, Megan. I am excited to engage in this conversation with LaDonna Collins. LaDonna is the executive director of the Rome Floyd County Commission on Children and Youth. And I met LaDonna at an online Georgia Family Connections regional meeting, and I was just blown away by your enthusiasm, LaDonna. And I said, you have got to come on and do a podcast and share some of your expertise and your stories around what you're doing in your community. So thank you so much for agreeing to join us. On LaDonna's bio, she shares with us that if you have issues dealing with children, youth, or families, she is the go-to person. If you need new and innovative and creative ways to change up things and pull people together, LaDonna Collins is your person. So welcome, LaDonna. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gardner, for having me here today. I am so excited to start talking about what I love. Yes.
Which is your community, right? You grew yes. up in the Rome Floyd County area, right?
Yeah, I'm really just about 30 minutes away from Rome. I actually grew up in Rockmart, Georgia, but to be quite honest, I went to church here. My best friends are in Rome. So yeah, Rockmart, Rome girl, but I can call myself a Roman for life. Yeah, but love me some Rockmart, yeah.
In our casual conversation, both during the online meeting and then afterwards, I was just blown away by just how quickly you developed programs there in Rome. How long have you been in this position?
Right at 2.5 years. I started March of 2019. Yes.
One program I want to talk to you about in particular, and that is your barbershop literacy program, because I think a lot of our L4GA participants are interested in similar programs and they just want to know, how do you get started? So why don't you start there and tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So Books, Barbers, and Beauticians is what we call the program. And we were thinking, okay, we want to focus on improved school success by focusing on literacy. But we were like, we're not in the school. So what can we do in the community where children and youth frequent? And we were thinking, the barbershop and the beauty salon. So, you know, we thought about how can we really get youth to take advantage and get some intrinsic and extrinsic motivation going on when it comes to literacy. So what we did is we just, you know, thought about, hey, let's get two of our community barbershop and beauty salon where we know children frequent the most. And so we chose two pilot locations. We started them in February the 28th of this year, and we just supplied them with books and snacks and banners and the throwback teacher grade book. And pretty much what the children do is when they go in to get their hair cut or their hair styled, they actually will be able to read a book while they're waiting, as well as read another book while they are meeting and getting styled by their beautician or barber. And we went through some minor training with the barber and beautician on this, just to teach them a little bit about literacy and about phonics and different things like that, and how to help and encourage the children when they do read, if they don't know a word, or even if a child is having a bad day and maybe their parents just picked them up from school. Okay. We were like, you know, they may not feel like reading. So we talked to them about the importance of language nutrition and how having just a common everyday daily conversation will allow language nutrition to improve with children when they come in. So pretty much the kids go in there and read their book or talk to their stylist. Mm-hmm. And afterwards they receive healthy and some unhealthy snacks snacks as an incentive when after they get finished reading. And thus far, like I said, we started February the 28th, and thus far we have at least over 60 plus children who are already involved in this initiative. So we're really excited, and I just had a meeting last Friday, and we're going to be enrolling the oldest barbershop here in Rome, Georgia, 105-year-old barbershop in Rome, Georgia. It's called the Forest Barbershop. They emailed me last Monday about their interest. And so starting in August, we're going to have a third pilot starting with the oldest barbershop here in Rome, Georgia.
That is fantastic news. And I'm really curious about, how did you select the books? Were the barbers a part of this process? Did you use local librarians? What was your process there?
You know, I reached out to our local community library and the outreach coordinator, and she talked to me about books. You know, something that our beautician and barber wanted was make sure that we had culturally diverse books. And so from there, in the beginning, we went to Barnes & Noble and we told them, this is what we're doing. And we got our own salesperson for about 2 or 3 hours. And they went through books with us, and they told us, you know, just because you're at the barber shop, make sure that you're not getting gender appropriate books. You know, young men might like to read books on things that usually females might like to read books on. So make sure that you mix up your books in different locations, whether it's the barbershop or beauty salon. And then from there, you know, just really the most important audience was our children that was going to be going in there. So we took a couple. My son goes to get his haircut at this particular barbershop every 2 weeks. So he went with us, and he chose books that kids his age would like and the like. So we've just had a lot of help from different resources.
You're touching on so many people in your community. You've got your families, you've got your business, small business owners. You went and talked to the people at Barnes & Noble. Now you're talking about a much older established business, but that brings in a whole nother set of community members. And you barely even touched on how you wanted to affect school outcomes, but that's an entire other partner that you're affecting. So that's really exciting.
Yes, it is. Those non-academic barriers, because, you know, obviously the children are going to get their haircut. So that's a non-academic barrier that when a youth gets in the school, they look better. And we all know that when you look better and you know you look good, you're gonna exceed in more that you're doing. So, you know, that's a non-academic barrier right there. But, you know, just being able to know that, hey, it's a safe space that they can read in the barbershop or beauty salon. The door is closed. Nobody is in there with them but the barber and maybe their father or their mother or guardian. So they get that confidence to then be able to go back in the school and say, hey, I picked up this book and this is the same reading level that I read at the barbershop or beauty salon, so I can do this. So yeah, the dividends, we shall see them very soon. I'm looking forward to that.
That's good. I mean, even beyond the numbers, right? That motivational context, right, is just, that's something that we cannot necessarily quantify,
right?
And so I love that that's such an important part. And then that listening and that oral component that you mentioned, you know, giving them an opportunity to have that dialogue is so critical. I also, as you talked about working with your local librarian, I wondered, like, which books are popular. I just couldn't help but wonder that. Do you know? Is there one that's just sort of flying off the barbershop shelves, if you will?
You know, believe it or not, it's a Diary of a Wimpy Kid, that series.
Okay. Of course.
We split those up, but then also what we did is I don't know if you guys know of the show Who, What, Where, When, is popular on Netflix, but it tells about the history of Joan of Arc and different historians like that, but they bring it to modern day terms. So the youth and children love reading those books as well, the Who, What, Where books, and you can never go wrong with the Golden books. We were able to get some of our hands on some of the Golden books. So the favorites, the Disney favorites, things like that. So we went with some newer books, but we could not get rid of our Dr. Seuss books as well. So all of those played in context with this.
I couldn't help but think about Derek Barnes' book, Crowned, as you mentioned that. And I know that is a you know, it's an award-winning book. It's one of those books that really reflected the point that you made about looking good and feeling good and having your story be affirmed, right? Through Rudyard Sims Bishop's famous metaphor, kids being exposed to mirrors and windows. So that is fantastic. Now, you did say, we don't want to act like it's all roses. You did say that there were some challenges along the way as you've developed this program, and one facet being a little bit more popular than the other. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The barbershop actually has a little bit more, not a little bit more, a lot more clientele than the beauty salon. And I don't know about you all, but when I was younger, I would get my hair done quite frequently as a young lady. But young ladies nowadays aren't getting their hairstyle as much, whether they're getting extensions, letting their hair grow out, taking the natural route where they don't get their hair done. So the barbershop is actually the favorite. I have to go there and re-up on the snacks and gift cards at least every 2 to 3 weeks. And it's been a running joke that the dads are wanting to get in on it too. So I told them, look, if you get a bag of chips today, you have to bring a whole 18 pack of chips when you come in 2 weeks from now or next week. But yeah, one of our, you know, minor barriers is the fact that, you know, we really thought that the beauty salon would just really be one of our hit places to go. But we found out very early on that it's the barbershop. And more than what I knew, young men are getting their haircut weekly and by every 2 weeks. So that's something. And we just had to decide that, hey, we're going to keep the beauty salon as our pilot. We're going to keep pushing things there, but we're going to begin to focus on our barbershops from here on out. And as we all know, you know, young males are the demographic that, you know, sometimes have more of the reading issues anyway. So why not focus a little bit more on them and just, you know, back off a little bit from the ladies, but still support their efforts.
Sure. I think that's great. And you said you're on your third barbershop now. So you're doing all the right things in terms of growing that particular program. Any connections into the school? Is there any bi-directional conversations about what's happening in your program or not yet?
Not yet, but fortunately, particularly for Rome City Schools, we have for the Board of Directors for the Rome Floyd County Commission on Children and Youth, the school social worker is on our board. So when school starts, you know, school is almost over. So when school starts in August, we're going to make sure that we begin to do a little bit more of numbers and just seeing reading levels, how reading levels look. And, you know, Floyd County, I think they applied for an L4 GA grant, and they asked me to be a part of their team. So with those two things, organizations and school systems combining, hopefully this time next year, we'll be able to see some qualitative and quantitative numbers on what does it look like. But you can never be just the dear fact that there has been a parent can say there's been a change in my child because now they're running to read rather than huffing and puffing about reading. Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking too of the teacher that sees their student come in the classroom with a new hairstyle or a new haircut, and they say, "Oh, you know, your hair looks great. What book did you read?"
Right.
You know, making that connection, reinforcing. What did you talk to the barber about? What conversation did you all have? Keeping each other in the loop, and that's what those partnerships can really strengthen each other. The stronger they become. I had a more specific question for those that want to start similar projects. So when the child goes in, do they get to keep the book or they just read? Does the book stay in the barbershop or the salon? And then a follow-up being, so how are you funding the books?
So, right. So in the beginning, and we're still in the beginning phases, we're just only 3 months in, we thought that we were just going to allow the books to stay there. But the barber has told me, you know, hey, LaDonna, they're wanting to take the books home. So we got with our on our board through Northwest Georgia RESA, Get Georgia Reading Ambassador is actually on our board. And so she said, LaDonna, we've got to build libraries, at-home libraries for these youth. So we had, you know, Communities in School is a sponsor of this. So they are starting to, Communities in School and Northwest Georgia RESA, the particular person with them, we're getting books at a cheaper value to ensure that, you know, we're just going to have to figure it out. How often? We know birthdays and holidays, but a book every time they go home, to be quite honest, that can be pricey, but I don't think you can put a value on the fact that the child has a living library in their home of their own. So we're working right now to begin the process of the youth being able to take a book home monthly, quarterly. We're still figuring that out. So, but right as in the beginning, the books were staying, and at this point in time, they're still staying.
I love that, though. I love that kind of just sort of unique, organic way that kids can come together with a book and when they find each other, right? And so I also think it's important that you all have this sort of network that you have developed with, you know, people on the board and in various capacities that are coming together to organically build the kind of, you know, structure around this reading program too. And that feels important to me. That feels like that's what a pilot is too, right? So that I guess perhaps once you are funded with the grant, that you can go forward and collect data in a way that is a little bit more, you know, formal, if you will. But this sort of low stakes reading opportunity, I think, cannot be underestimated. And so I just think when we think about community literacy initiatives, this is a fantastic example. Do you have any advice for other districts who might want to, or other community organizations that might want to start this up?
Definitely don't do this alone. Collaboration is the key in seeing this succeed in whatever level you're starting on. And, you know, fortunately through the commission, we're a Family Connection location. We were able to set aside some funds in the beginning. We set aside $1,000 in the beginning, and we thought that was going to last us this whole year. We wanted to do this for a 1 year pilot, but you do have to put some funds out in the beginning. And I think $1,000 would be good just to get you started with two locations. Work with, you know, different vendors, Scholastic Books, whatever book vendor that you have in your location or that you have access to, or for that matter, work with the library. They might have book sales that they're selling books for 10 cents, or go in your child's closet, have a book drive. Start off like that. Another thing, not just books, we have had organizations who have purchased yearly subscriptions for us for Sports Illustrated for Kids and National Geographic for Kids. So don't deny the fact that it doesn't just have to be a book. It could be a comic magazine or some kind of reading magazine, but go outside. And if anything, I think one of the advice that I would leave is whatever location you want to have Books, Barbers, and Beautician in, ensure that maybe you form a board with a child on the board with you. So they can help you find out, like, what kind of snacks do you want? Fortunately, like I said, my five-year-old went to Sam's and Walmart with us, and he was like, Mom, nobody's going to want that Chex Mix, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So he was able to tell me, hey, you know, get the movie theater candy that's 96 cents. Get the 18 bag candy, you know, get the little Capri Suns or the Hubs.
Mixing. Yeah, and you were honest. Yeah, mixing. healthy with the not so healthy, you know, absolutely. And I love that idea of having a child represented on the board. That's essential, giving them a voice, right? And helping to make the program, you know, more successful.
Right. And if I can interrupt you really, really quick, sure. I don't want to neglect that, you know, we've been so fortunate enough to be able to reach out to our CMOs like AmeriGroup and CareSource that we have in every county in the state of Georgia. And they were able to give us a $500 sponsorship award for Books, Barbers, and Beautician. And literally all it took, I didn't even have to write a grant. All I did was provide them with a W-9 and an invoice and our flyer and a write-up of what we're doing. And it was that simple. Your local Optimist Club, if you have an Optimist Club in your hometown, they were able to give us $500. So from those three organizations all together, I've received $1,500. And we started off with $1,000. So you can, you know, if you don't have any funds, reach out. Dollar General, they do grants, different locations like that. So reach out to your local, you know, AmeriGroup rep, CareSource rep, Peach State rep. They actually, we have a grant in process with them. Hopefully that we'll be able to get that so we can get at least $2,000 from grants. So if you don't have the funds, there is money out there. Just put in an ask.
I love all of those resources that you shared, because those are important for sustainability. You know, you hate to see programs take off and become successful and then the funding runs out. So those kinds of resources for sustainability are critical, and I know everyone will appreciate you sharing those. I'm also looking forward to that data down the line. I think that's going to be powerful and so important for us as we learn more about what communities throughout the state of Georgia are experiencing as they engage in literacy-focused partnerships. My last question for you, what else is on the horizon? What do you have coming up next?
You know, I'm always thinking about something, and something that you and I spoke about when we spoke a couple of months ago was, you know, I'm really big on language nutrition. And when you have those kids that are 1 and 2 and 3 year olds who may not have picked up a book, but go to the grocery store with their parents, you and I talked about Supermarket Speak. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking to get a version of Supermarket Speak in our community. And that's simply, you know, a child going to the grocery store with their parent, and there'd be a picture of a pineapple or an orange or an apple or spinach or anything, and there are prompts for parents to spark that conversation with their child to improve their language nutrition. So I'm really looking forward to just in convenience stores and supermarkets and different places like that, encouraging families and parents and guardians to spark up their conversations. But if you don't know what to say, guess what? Here's a little sign that might be by the baked beans. And it's like, ooh, what do baked beans look like to you? Or what can we eat for supper with baked beans tonight? How about adding some hot dogs in there, or, you know, some coleslaw or grapes? So having that conversation is the basis of having a healthy language nutrition. So looking forward to just getting prompts in different local stores that will help parents learn how to communicate with their children.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. On to the next, right?
Yes.
What a fantastic set of programs. I know your community is so thankful to have you, LaDonna, and I want to thank you for joining us today and sharing all of your expertise.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And we'll be able to share some of the resources that you talked about on the L4GA webpage. And I have learned so much in this conversation. And thank you very, very much for sharing your depth of knowledge for all of our grantees and all of our other community partners across the state.
Definitely is my pleasure, and I'll have no issue with coming to your community. If you want to book Barbers and Beautician, I will come to your town and we will get you set up and get you done.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, LaDonna.
Thank you. You guys have a great one.
You too.